Welcome back to another episode of B-Hall Radio. I'm your host, Brian Rowan. We're on episode 88. I'm here with co-host Logan Everett. Coach Ward, welcome to the show.
What's up, fellas? How we doing?
Listeners out there, we had to start this right away because we were already losing content in the pre-show. We'd already
talked about this morning's workouts. We'd already talked about there was a lot to talk about, and we started talking about wrestling, and Logan was like, nope, you gotta run it, click record, we're wasting content. It was a big weekend, EIWA tournament, all kinds of stuff happened, and we got a lot to talk about.
There's a lot to wipe clean, I think, from this weekend, especially.
I felt like this conversation with about 100 people. And there's a lot of listeners out there who have no idea what we're talking about. And we're not going to give it away just yet, but every single person across the board has never seen or heard of anything that bad.
Let's talk Army wrestling, Piro.
Right, we'll get into that later. What slate clean, fresh Army wrestling time.
Yeah, run it.
So, it's Tuesday night. You know, the at-large bids came out today, so it's solidified, how many guys we got going to NCAAs. We qualified eight guys placed in the top eight, across the board, looking at what our seeds were going into EIWAs versus how they finish across the board, a lot of upside, a lot of young wrestlers on the team. And I'm not to steal your thunder, Coach, because I'm just summarizing my thoughts right there. But what are your thoughts on the weekend?
Before the last round, I was sitting there talking to some other coaches, and the coach from Lehigh, Santoro, he said something that was like, he nailed it. He's like, yeah, this round, it's like going to a wedding and a funeral just over and over again. I was like, that's perfect. It's pretty much what it's like. You celebrate everything that happens because there's so much on the line and you feel really good about it. And then, it's inevitable in sports, and wrestling is brutal. And you've heard me say that. I mean, it's heartbreaking. It's like coming off of, a dual meet season that didn't end the way we wanted. And then you want everything to go your way. But across a 2-day tournament with 10 different guys competing, you're not going to have everything go your way. But those losses and stuff are just agonizing. And if you've never been in the sport as an athlete or a coach, you don't understand, but it's like, you live and die with every break and then everything that doesn't go your way. I mean, it's excruciating. But overall, I think six of our guys bettered their seed. We had one guy that wrestled equal to his seed, and then three that came up just short of where they were seeded. We improved. I think we had four or five placers last year and put eight on the podium this year, so an improvement. We have one senior in our starting lineup at the tournament. I think seven of the guys that went and wrestled, they wrestled in their first EIWA tournament. So, we're probably a couple weeks away from being able to do this, but when we get to the point where we're able to reflect on it and look at all of the positive that happened, there's a lot and a lot that we can build on. And that doesn't make things easier next year because every other team is going to be better too. But I thought that we wrestled probably the hardest and the best that we had all year. And that's what you want to see at your conference tournament. And it wasn't every match. It was some up and down, but as a team, I thought it was our strongest performance of the season. That's what you want to see this time of year. And we're leaving with three outright qualifiers, and we did not get any at large. We do not have any alternates. So it's those three guys. And, we're overtime and two other matches from having five qualifiers. So, the margins are thin, and those are the things that kind of stick with you, but super excited for the guys that we have going to the NCAA tournament because they're wrestling really well and they're ready to have kind of a breakout tournament at the NCAAs.
Do you want to break it down by round, or do you want to go by weight, or
I can do whatever. Yeah.
I would be cool with doing it by round, I think, because that kind of tells the story a little bit maybe, but we start Saturday morning. I think we won seven out of the first 10. Okay. I think we won seven in a row, maybe.
I can tell you what I remember about that first round is, you know, Bergen got off, and his whole first day was kind of like, blah, you know, and he had a decent start. It wasn't great. Trainer coming out at the 10 seed, you know, beating the number 7 seed first round, and that was a big one. Sanchez, I thought, looked great his first round matchup. McDaniel looked great. Lucas did what he does, super consistent. Dalton Harkins avenged a loss from earlier in the year, so that was great to see. Ben Pazuk did what he does, and he looked great. We knew that Saham was going to have a tough match there with that guy from Penn. It's a tough matchup. And it just kind of, you know, like maybe the – it looked like a senior that was a little bit rattled, you know, that had trouble gaining his composure, you know, and pretty much that whole first day of being able to get composure, knowing that it you know, it's a big tournament and it could be his last, and maybe that kind of got to him a little bit. That's what it looked like for me. He's an emotional guy, and it's been tough through his career to help him manage his emotions, and maybe we didn't do a great job there. Danny, you know, ran into a tough guy there first round, and we probably made a mistake as coaches putting him on bottom. Could have left him on his feet. It didn't work out when we chose down. And then Kohlhofer wrestled Golden from Penn. And again, I Jimmy and I were in the corner, and we were like, well, should we go neutral? We should probably go neutral. And then, I mean, immediately when the period ended, Kohlhofer pointed down and turned around and got set. So we were like, all right, he's going down. And then got ridden out for 2 minutes, you know, and lost, what, 2-0, I guess. So that first round was like, okay, we're wrestling pretty good. We're right there in the couple matches that we dropped. But we're going to have to get better as the tournament goes on. So that was, you know, that was the first round, and we took a break and came back for the quarterfinals on Saturday night.
I feel as, I mean, maybe this is like recency bias, but I feel like the past few years we've had a really good opening round. I can't remember what we did last year, but I feel like as a whole in the last 3 or 4 years, our first round has been really good.
Well, I thought we haven't got there yet, you know, the way that you want to go through the tournament. We wrestled much better, I thought, on the second day. And maybe, you know, our preparation had something to do with that. I mean, we really did not train very hard going into the tournament. Because our conditioning has been so good, it's not a worry, and having the guys be healed up because they have the regular, you know, kind of nagging injuries that everybody has this time of year. But we know, I mean, for us and the team that we have, you can't afford a bad round. You know, we don't have anybody seeded number one, so our highest seed was third. You can't – oh, and by the way, Ben Pazuk as a third seed has the kid from Lehigh who's freaking good. So
yep.
Our highest seeded guy had an opponent that had beaten him last year. So you can't sleep on anybody. So it's important that you come out prepared, ready to go. It doesn't matter what seed you are. So,
round two, Saturday night, Bergen had Miller, I think, from
Penn. Yeah, Bergen had Miller. Bergen had Miller, and it was kind of like, you know, we got taken down late in the first and then again late in the second. So really kind of like two-point takedowns. It just never really got into the match, to be honest with you. Just never.
Yeah, I felt like that too. I felt like it never really it got to a point where it was – especially it wasn't – it was – everything was going against him. I kind of felt like it just never – he never really got going. It was kind of just like – I don't know.
I think the guy really wanted to win, and the other guy competes pretty hard, and maybe we weren't quite ready for that. And then I thought Richie wrestled a really good match against Kolioko. He knew what he had to do there in that match, and he was in it, man, and he was trying to make things happen for him. So he competed hard, and, you know, as it stands today, I mean, I can say it, you know, Kolioko's better than him. And we had to beat somebody that's better than us. He had a good strategy to do it. It just didn't work out. He can live with that.
I think Kolioko's a senior, too, this year.
I don't know.
He's gone. I think he's gone after this year.
Who's a senior this year?
Well, you never know anymore, really. It's tough to tell, but
we talked about that with the team today. You know, we're back here training, and we talked about that with the team that, look, just because, like, I think I went through the rankings today and looked before practice, there was, like, 13 seniors ranked at 149. But I was like, look, you know, half of those are seniors are going to be seniors again next year. So, like, don't count on 13 people leaving your weight class. Just count on getting a lot better. Who did Sanch have? Oh, he had Miller on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I really thought Sanchez was in a good spot, and I think that I was a little bit more confident in him than he was in himself, and that showed, I think, in that match and the few matches after that, where I thought he was really in it.
I mean, he had a lead early, right? He got an early takedown, or
yeah, he got the first takedown. And this is no disrespect to Miller, but like, I mean, look what happened the rest of the tournament. It showed that he's not, you know, like Sanchez could have beaten him. Like I said, I just feel like I was more confident in Julian than he was in himself, and that's something we have to address as coaches, that we have to help them. When I say them, I'm talking about him in particular. Like, you got to help Julian realize how good he is, because he's matured so much. Like, I mean, you should see him. You don't have to worry about his weight. You don't have to worry about him being on time. You don't have to worry about him working hard. Like, he's very mature now in the way he goes about things. So he needs some more confidence, and he's earned it, because he's really good. He does all the right things, and like, he's somebody that I've noticed a lot of growth out of. So yeah, in hindsight, you know, I'm not so sure he believed it, you know, as much as I believed it, you know, for him, but he's got another year. He's not done. So, Trey had the match with that Bucknell kid that night. Is that right? Yeah.
It would have been four, I think four, yeah, or five. Four or five.
Whoever, yes, the five was. Chapel on Saturday night, man. Again, you know, kind of a close call there. We got a takedown. They challenged. It got taken away. Cause they said time was out. We did not re-challenge, saying, well, it was a takedown before you awarded it anyway, which it probably was. But good luck getting them to change, you know, call twice. So and the match goes to overtime, and just kind of, you know, just a stupid, idiotic mistake on Trey's part to just, you know, dive for an ankle that wasn't there and put himself on his back in overtime. And you're just like, come on, man. You know, you stand in there and fight a little bit. And that's just a little bit of immaturity showing, because he will stay in there and fight. He's a tough guy.
Yeah.
He just, you know, sometimes he has these lapses where you're just like, hey, is there anything in there? You know, like, you got to wake up, man. You got to fight the single leg off, you know. And I'm being hard on the guys right now. And listen, I'm not trying to build up his confidence for the next competition, because he doesn't have one for a while. So it's like taking an honest look at why you don't have a competition for a while. And that's part of it. Okay, 57, Sterniglia on Saturday night. I mean, Nate Lucas, man.
He just outwilled him.
He did. I mean, he did what he did. He got, he was down, that's like 5-1 at some point, right? Maybe. But he got an escape with a couple seconds left in a period, and I was like, oh, Nate believes it. He's not stopping. He got that one takedown. Very, like, eerily similar situation as the dual meet. Nate probably adjusted a little bit. This ref didn't stop it. The ref let it play out, and two takedown. I think we had to cut him. Did we cut him?
I think so.
Yeah, I think we got to take
it. It wasn't like a straight cut, but it was like he let him out after a few seconds.
Because you don't want to roll around with that guy. Because if he ends up back on top, he's dangerous. So I think Nate cut him, and then went and attacked again, and got another takedown, and then put a really hard ride on him for the rest of the match. So
he gave him the old headbutt at the end.
I never saw. I didn't see. Three of them.
I showed you the video.
Great.
Brian was very caught up on that, because I was jacked up, and Brian's like, "Did you see him headbutting him in the back at the end?" I was like, "No."
I was on the treadmill in my gym watching it.
Were you headbutting the treadmill at the same time?
Basically, I wanted to headbutt Lewis Baker, who was reffing that match, called him for stolen like 5 seconds into the match. I was like, what the hell is going on?
Was it an edge of the mat thing?
Yeah, like within the first 10 seconds of the match.
Oh, was it when he had the underhooks?
Yeah, and it was like he was trying to circle in, and he pushed, you know, just took him out of bounds. Probably ran into
the table. You can't go out of bounds when the guy's got double underhooks. You're going to get called for stolen. So
I mean, where are you supposed to go?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just telling you what happened.
I know, it's just,
we didn't argue the call, or like, because it was probably the right call. If you go out of bounds when guys got underhooks, and then now don't get me started on edge of the mat stalling, because at 165, I'll get to that in a little bit. Dalton wrestled Quincy that night. Quincy's really good. you know, we just couldn't quite get a takedown there at the end to get it.
That was, I mean, that was very manageable. Like, Dalton, I thought he was in a good spot to win that match at the end.
Dalton's defense is so good. Yes. Really, Dalton's defense is really good. And it showed in that match. He's just got to, you know, he's a different guy sometimes in competition than he is on a day-to-day basis. And we've got to help him work his way through that, because he's got like elite level skills and abilities. But to be fair, you know, when you watch him in competition, sometimes you wouldn't know it. And I think we have to help him get through that. So
I know this guy, like,
he doesn't have to get much better at wrestling. He's already really, really good is the thing. He has to get better at wrestling matches. Like, he can wrestle. He hasn't done a great job at wrestling actual matches. And so performing is what he's got to get better at.
I said, I know this guy that wrote a book called The Confident Mind that works up there.
Used to work up here. Yeah.
Is he done?
Doug Z is retired. Yeah. From West Point. He is still, I doubt he lets the grass grow underneath his feet, but
yeah,
but you're right. That's our job. We got to help him learn how to help himself there. Okay. Benny Pazook had a great, quarterfinal match.
Yeah. The Navy kid.
Yep. So that was the quarterfinals. Then you come back and the guys that had lost, they had to, did they wrestle again that night or no?
They did. And I was on the phone with my dad and I was like, I can't remember if they wrestle again. And then they did.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure they wrestle one more that night, and then they come back and they wrestle the first thing next morning at the same time as the semi.
Yep. That's right. Cause if you make day two, then you've placed.
Yes.
Okay. So let's go back. You know, I'll start at the top of the lineup now. So Cole Hoffer comes back and beats a guy from Columbia. And then he beats the nationally ranked guy from Princeton to put himself into the medal rounds, right?
Stefanik, yeah. Or Stefanik.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he beats Stefanik. What? Like, who saw that coming?
That guy got the at-large.
Yep. Yep. I mean, that guy had a pretty decent season, stayed in the rankings, had beaten some good guys. We explained this to Cole Hoffer today. It's like, look, you didn't wrestle this year. Like, he had a hard time managing his body. He almost never trained at all. And that's not a knock on him. It's like he was dealing with some injuries that lasted the entire season. And so he never got a chance to pick up any quality wins that would give him an at-large. He had to wrestle his way into the tournament, and he freaking almost did. But he had a good way coming back and finishing there on Saturday night. Danny Lawrence came back and won some matches to make the podium. So great job, Danny Lawrence, in coming back. That was big time, you know. And then, of course, you know, Sam drops a tough one there to the Navy guy that he was right there in it to win. It just, you know, like we take him down with short time left and then get reversed at the end of the first, you know. You can't afford those kinds of mistakes. And then I thought at the end of Sam's match, like he was in it, like there to win. And instead of being able to dial in and focus on getting a takedown, it looked like his whole world was unraveling, you know, like, oh no, it's over. I'm not going to score. My career's over. All this stuff unraveling. And it looked like the opposite of focus on the task at hand. And like I said, you know, I feel like we failed him, and we never really got him to the point where he could really focus under pressure. You know, like when high pressure situations came around, he wasn't able consistently to just dial it in and just laser focus on things. So he's got a lot to be proud of, man. He left it all out there. He made a lot of people fans of his by the way he competed. So there's no shame in it. And he'll one day he'll realize that. So is that our guys that were in the wrestle backs, or some more guys had to come back and wrestle? I can't remember who came back on.
That would have been the top three were in the wrestle backs, and then everyone else wrestled that night. The bottom seven wrestled again that night.
Okay, I guess so
74
Harkins
did not.
Wrestled again. I think Harkins wrestled. Not. Yeah, 57 did not. Yep. Trey had to come back and wrestle again.
Yep.
So, but Sanchez had to come back too, right?
Yeah. Ethan.
Yep. Oh, Bergen had to come back and wrestle. Who did those guys wrestle? I don't even remember. Oh,
he wrestled. I don't remember them being close matches.
No. Yeah, I don't either.
I don't remember who Sanchez had. I know Bergen, I think, had Long Island. I don't remember
who he had. At the time, I was kind of bouncing around between EIWAs and Big Ten semifinals.
Okay.
Back and forth.
But all in all, you know, we put eight guys there on the podium after the first day. And then we came back the second day. And the message was very clear to guys is like, look, everything that was in front of you today, you know, is still there for you now. And we've done a good job. We've got eight on the podium, which is tied for as much as any other team in the conference. That's improvement, but don't be satisfied. And we had chances to improve where we were at from there. Bergen came out and looked awesome in his first match and he was pretty heavy on Saturday night. He was working out until late. He had to get up on Sunday morning and work out early. So I was kind of nervous like how he was going to do, but he wrestled really good against the Lehigh kid, maybe even almost got a major or majored him when it was overtime last time. So
yeah, it was very close last time, and I thought he handled him very convincingly this time.
Yeah, beat him up, and it was good to see. Sanchez, again, you know, I've kind of given you my thoughts on him, but I thought it was a very winnable match against Coderhant. I'm not sure Julian thought it was a very winnable match. You know, and we gave up a takedown late there. And then, Trey McDaniel had a day on Sunday. He beat two returning qualifiers pretty handedly. He beat the kid from Columbia who's very good, and he beat the guy from Princeton. So two returning qualifiers to put himself in position to have a chance to wrestle Doug Zapp, which would have been a really good win. And he was there in the third place match, and just, you know, just a little bit too short. Zapp's a seasoned veteran, wrestles really hard, very solid. And if you have any holes in your game, like in the way you compete or the way that you train against guys like Doug Zapp, those holes you're going to find out. And we got exposed a little bit there. Not by lack of trying in that match. I mean, I thought Trey wrestled his ass off the entire tournament.
He was in there.
Yeah, really, really proud.
Really, really well.
Say that again?
He fought off some single legs really well against Zapp.
He's got good single leg defense, and he's gotten better with it. So, yeah, he did. He fought him off, and he's very comfortable. You could see that Trey would get the overhook, and he's comfortable there. I mean, he could wrestle a lot of different positions. So, when he learns how to train up to the level of his talent, look out, because he is so talented and so capable, and we've got to help him learn how to train up to that level. And forgetting, you know, that he's young, just a freshman, but when do you start having patience with guys? You know, I don't know. So hopefully never, you know, and I don't think they want that either. So I'm like, I'm not patient with him just because he's a freshman. Damn, Nate Lucas had Arlona beat again.
I'm going to tell you, I felt like my heart got ripped out.
That's a tough one.
I was in such a bad mood for almost the entirety of the rest of the day because of that.
Well, I mean, you got to be able to, yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah.
I couldn't get over it. I had texted my wife. I was like, I feel like I'm so stressed out right now. And I had nothing. I had a couple things to do at home. And it's, I was like I'm so funeral, stressed man. Out. Yeah. I was like, I feel like my heart's going to beat out of my damn chest.
Weddings and funerals.
Yeah.
Yeah. He looked over at the clock. I wasn't in the corner, and I'm behind the head table there where the clock's at. And I see him glance up at the clock with 20 seconds left. And I'm like, don't do it. Don't look at the clock. And then he kind of changed the way he was wrestling a little bit. Here's what I told Nate after that match. I'll tell everybody. I said, Nate, I am so proud of the way you compete, and I'm always going to love you, but you need to realize you have one style of wrestling that makes you good. And when you mix it up, you're vulnerable and you're not as good. And his style of wrestling is pedal to the metal, all gas, let's go. And he kind of tapped the brakes there a little bit. And listen, you can learn a lot from Artelona in that match because he was exhausted. I mean, the guy was tired. But guess what? When you're a competitor and you're tired, you still try to win. And Artelona is a competitor. And so just because you have them tired doesn't mean they're not going to try to win. You know, that's what tough people do. And Artelon is a tough guy. So we kind of opened the door for him a little bit, and he did what a competitor does and took advantage of it. So I promise you this, Nate has learned that lesson. And what's that?
I said it looked like he learned it right away because it was.
It looked like eight takedowns to win that match for third place. He thought he needed eight.
I mean, fast forward, look ahead. Now, the next match is the match. Well, he had to beat the kid from America, and then he goes to the third place match, and it's like, you have to win this match to go. You're not getting an at-large bid. And that's how you go win it. You go get four freaking takedowns in the match where you have to win it. Not one. You know, like, go get four takedowns and leave no doubt. He did. That was a hard match. I've told the other coaches, you know, Ian Parker and I are in the corner. And that was a hard match for me to coach because I was just like, you know, just wanted it for him so bad. And then, you know, it should have been easy because the match was, he had it under wraps the whole time, you know. Yeah. I mean, it was like, I don't know if I took a breath the whole match. So when he won that match, I haven't been that happy. I told Scott Green, I was like, I haven't been that happy since Corey Shy headlocked the kid from Lehigh on senior day the year before, you know, like there's a few matches that like stand out in your mind, you know, you're like that one, when Corey headlocked the guy, when Bobby Hill beat the Navy heavyweight in the semis at EIWA, like there's some matches that just stand out in your mind. That for Nate, you know, for me, Nate's third place match was one of them because you want to see him be successful. So he did good. Hey, Dalton had a good morning on Sunday where he beat Rivano.
Yeah.
So he beats two people, you know, that had beaten him earlier in the year. Puts himself in position to go and to compete for a spot where he had the guy from Harvard for fifth. And one of those matches where you just feel like, man, I wish he could wrestle that one again, you know, because it wasn't much going on. Most of the Harvard guys get really tired. They don't compete well late in a match. Josh Kim's not one of them. He can stay there for a full match. And he wrestles a lot of close matches. And he stayed in the match, hit a really nice single leg in overtime, and took us down. You know, no controversy. You know, it's just that's what happened. But if you go back and you watch Dalton's consolation semifinal match, you know, I challenged Lock Hands. And if you go back and watch it, it's obvious the guy locked his hands, you know. So that's the match I was talking about earlier. The guy is riding. He puts his hands like this when he's in a crab ride on Dalton. I challenged it. You can see it on video. For whatever reason, two refs on the mat, they can't see it. It goes to video review. They don't see it. Watch the match. You'll see it. And then they get back up, and there's flurry where Dalton almost scores. And they're on the edge of the mat, you know, in like a rear standing situation. And the guy starts walking out of bounds, and Dalton's dragging his feet trying to stay in bounds. And the ref doesn't make a call, action or stalling or anything. And the other ref comes over there, and they're like, yeah, we agreed, no takedown. And I was like, hey, what's the stall call? No stall call. I'm like, what? The guy walked out of bounds. So after the match, I was like, you're not going to call a stall call. The guy walked out of bounds. He goes, no, I'm not calling that. The guy shot on your guy three times. I'm not going to make that call. And I was like, well, you can't pick and choose when you want to, like,
make the call.
That's a black and white rule. You can't pick and choose. Yep. It's not a judgment call, you know? Like, you can't pick and choose when you want to enforce the rules because you think the match is going a certain way. That was aggravating, but we still had another chance. But that was kind of sickening where like you can't pick and choose when you want to make a call because you think the match is going a certain way, you know? So they missed locked hands. Both refs missed the stall call. That was disappointing. But I thought, you know, Dalton competed well, just not well enough, obviously. We're kind of bouncing around on weights, but Ben Pazook, what about his semifinals match?
Great. I thought the game plan was fantastic. You know, I feel like
he got 10 takedowns on that guy. He was just on fire.
Well, the kid's very athletic. Maybe not quite as skilled as Ben. And I thought Ben did a good job of avoiding positions where that kid was going to be strong. And I mean, he looked great. Honestly, that was probably one of the better matches he's wrestled.
Yeah, I thought we had a good plan, had made some adjustments before the previous matches, watched some film and saw some things that we thought, okay, we have to do some of these things different. And Ben's been developing some new offense over the past month and a half, and it worked in that match. So, man, I thought he competed really well, and that was a great match for him. He hadn't beaten that guy before. So,
yeah,
that's a big-time place to beat him.
Won't happen again.
What now we going heavyweight, Cole Hoffer. He was so close, man.
So close.
Brian.
You got the hearts and minds of all of Twitter in the last 48 hours.
That was tough, huh?
Man, if you get me tweeting about stuff, you know, now you know shit's at the fan. I never tweet, but I was coming, you know, I've been talking for till this, you know, talking myself blue with the mats being short and, you know, not enough room. And now everybody's coming out of the woodwork. Hey, we need larger mats. Why are the conference tournaments not have this? You got the table workers set up like this is a middle school tournament.
You know what the ref told me after the match? I think you do because you were on Twitter. The ref was like, yeah, if he didn't hit the table, it's a takedown. And I'm like, the table didn't cause it to be a takedown or not a take. Like, it didn't inhibit any action. So that ref is a good guy, but he's strictly by the book. He's kind of dorky, and he's like, strictly whatever the letter of the law says, he's gonna call it that way. And so he's not a guy that's gonna use a lot of discretion. We're like, oh well, you know, like it's a 1-to-1 match in overtime at heavyweight. This is the first scoring action. I'm just going to give the takedown because it was a takedown. So like you can't, okay.
Did he blow the whistle early or something or like what?
No,
like,
I think the other guy's foot hit the tablecloth, not the table, but the tablecloth. That's what's so bad. Like if there was no tablecloth,
it could be painful.
But the way the rule says the ref has discretion, whether, you know, he's probably thinking my number one job as the ref is to protect the wrestlers. That's my number one job.
Yeah.
No, but the way the rule is written is if your foot touches the hardwood, it's the ref's discretion whether to stop it or not.
Well, it didn't touch the hardwood. It touched the tablecloth.
Even then, but off the mat surface.
Yeah.
It's the ref's discretion on how to pursue it from there.
That was tough, but let's be for real. Austin had the guy in a front headlock. Could go behind. And I'll tell you what I told Austin is like, man, you have national qualifier heart and you have middle school technique. You know, like how can you not go behind somebody with a front headlock? How many times does that have to be covered in a college room where you have to get off of their shoulder? If you try to raise your butt up and go behind them, they're going to grab your leg and pull into a high. And that's what happened, right? The guy pulled his leg in. So listen, showed a lot of heart, a lot of competitive character and competitive spirit, which is great. But he showed, you know, like, I mean, middle school technique, it was terrible. It was really bad technique and it cost him. So, you got to get better. He's got to put himself in a position where he can stay healthy long enough to actually learn things. So he knows that. We've talked about it, that if you can take care of your body and you can get in a position where you can train for multiple weeks, please God, I'll take even multiple days at a time right now. Then you can actually start to learn wrestling that it's going to take to be successful at a Division I level. So he's never had to do that before. In high school, he was able to take weeks or months off at a time and come back and just smash everybody. Well, it's different. You know, it's different at this level. He showed what he's capable of. He showed how much fight he has. I mean, he's made of something, right? Like he's not a little weenie. He'll fight. You need that. We haven't always had that. So we can work with that. So a bright future, heartbreaking, one of those funeral moments, and something he has to learn from, come back and be better.
Yeah. So I guess we didn't talk about which guys specifically qualified, but Ethan qualified at 125 by getting fourth. I think they took top six.
That's right. Yep.
125. Yep. And then Lucas, they took three. He got third.
Yep.
And not even really concerned with how many they took at 174, because I mean, if you're in the finals, you're generally pretty safe.
They took five and they actually took two at-larges at 74 as well.
Oh, from EIWA?
How did O'Malley get in as an at-large? He's got, I guess, I think his win over Romero must have. I saw that today, and I was kind of surprised because he hasn't had a great year. I mean, we know what he's capable of. We know how good he can be, but he hasn't had a great year. I think
he was around a 12 guy last year, so they just.
Yeah, I don't know. He's been. I'd like to see the latest coaches' rankings to see where the coaches put him, but I like the three that we got. Obviously, we wanted to take more. Yes, it's a no-brainer. We wanted to take more, and we were an overtime match at heavyweight and an overtime match at 165 from having five qualifiers. And then, you know, very close at 49. But, you know, the message to the guys on the team and what they have to really understand, what our fans need to understand is wrestling is just getting harder. You know, when you have fifth, sixth, seventh year seniors in the lineup, well, you're going to have those guys for the next 3 or 4 years too. You know, we wrestled some third-year freshmen this year, competed against third-year freshmen and fourth-year sophomores. Well, in 3 years, you know, they're going to be 60-year seniors. So we're going to be competing against them then too. So we just have to embrace that we're going to have to do things better. We're going to have to grow as a program. I think growing our endowment and fundraising is going to be huge for that. If we don't, then we won't keep up. It's pretty simple. But we just have to embrace that it's going to be harder. And if we don't get tougher and if we don't get harder, then we're going to be almost there, you know, for a long time. But we don't have to be, you know, almost there. Like our team is getting better. It's just the results are getting harder to get, you know. It's like our team's getting better, but wrestling has never been this competitive from top to bottom. So it's a fun time for true competitors and count coaches as those people that we have to find ways to make our program better too.
Well, I thought we'd really improved from, I mean, the last few weeks, really coming around the Navy match, I thought we really started wrestling well. And then this weekend, I thought we wrestled generally pretty well as a whole. I think we really came a long way. And maybe it is like a little bit of, you know, the guys being young and really growing a lot throughout the year, kind of coming into their own a little bit at the end of the year. But I thought we really improved for what it's worth.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think so too. But and then, you know, the competitor in me says, you know, like, yeah, I mean, it's true. You know, we have one senior in our lineup at the EIWAs and he scored, you know, not very many team points. It's how tournament scoring works. So we should have a score more points as a team next year. But again, I'm like, why did we just start wrestling, you know, this good? I think a lot of it is we just started training in the way that it takes to wrestle this good. And it's not that practices plans have been any different. It's not, we're teaching anything different. It's guys finally bought into this is how I got to do it, you know, and they got excited, you know, they got excited about wrestling. And that's an important thing. When they got excited, they started training harder and performances got better and results started getting a little bit better. So, yeah, it's important that we don't let that momentum die for the guys that aren't wrestling. It's important that those guys that are going to Tulsa freaking ride it and bring the energy up and they can make a lot of noise and do some damage in Tulsa. There's no doubt.
Who, speaking of Tulsa, is there anybody other than the three qualifiers, is any other wrestlers traveling with the team? Like, is one
partner? We're working on that. So we have to get it approved for wrestlers who aren't competing to be able to take a trip section to go there and support. So
is it spring break again?
It's spring break right now.
Oh, this week?
Yeah. And so next week is not spring break. So they're going to have to miss Thursday and Friday of class to go and watch, effectively just to go to watch. But we're only going to take guys that are in good academic standing, and they're going to have to pay their own way. But we have a handful that want to go, and I think they should be able to go. So hopefully we're able to get it done where it gets approved.
Cool. What are the other hot topics?
Brackets come out tomorrow night. So, you know, there's no bracket reactions tonight. I mean, the hot topics are brackets come out tomorrow. They'll most likely change between tomorrow and the tournament because there's always some injuries and things get redrawn a little bit. But we're just, you know, we're here and we're training and We have a good training plan kind of mapped out. You guys are excited for it. So this is a time for us. Like, there's no other things to worry about. There's no class. There's no go to bed late, get up early. It's like, you know, no, they can go to bed early and get up late. You know, it's ideal training, kind of a level playing field with everybody else across the country. So that's it, man. That's all that occupies our mind is let's get these guys ready to compete and let's grow our endowment. You know, it was announced at the Navy match, we had over a $600,000 gift to our endowment from the class of 1972. And we're going to ride that momentum too. And we can do a lot with our endowment to grow, and it's going to help support our program in some ways that we really need. So for us, those are get guys ready to compete and keep growing our endowment, kind of our two biggest priorities.
Yeah. On that note, Ray Rotaco, class of 72, reached out. There's going to be a Zoom call tomorrow night. So if there's any alumni that are listening right now, you're probably listening to this on Wednesday morning, afternoon. If you want to hop on the call at 7 tonight, message me directly or, the Instagram page or Facebook page, and we'll get you the link if you're
That's awesome.
Listening. It sounds like they're doing them monthly too. I have the list of meeting times here. It looks like March 8th.
Second
and
Wednesday,
and then April 12th would be the next. So,
yeah. So, good stuff. It sounds like Ray's very fired up. To get things moving, more in that direction. He's got some ideas. He's talking my ear off on Sunday in a good way. I appreciate
that. That's awesome. Right now, the world would benefit from more people with passion and boldness like Ray Rotaco. So. We like that. I don't know. We kind of shot this thing out there late tonight. Were there any listener questions or anything you think anybody was really dying to know?
Yeah, let's get into that. We do need to hit the juicy topic.
I do have one. Anyways, there's a question.
Actually, let's hit on that before that, because so we've kind of teed this up a little bit, and I'm gonna call it. It was, and this is not a kids show, but the shit heard around the world. If you're not on Twitter, you probably don't know, or unless you're at EIWAs. I didn't know this happened, and I was at EIWAs on Sunday. Guess it happened early on. I won't name names, but the Hofstra 141 pounder.
Stop. See, don't. Let's not, like, don't.
No.
Don't.
I didn't know who it was. I had heard some rumblings online, and I was like, I wonder what that's about. And then... I saw the picture first, and then I had scrolled down a little while longer and saw the video of the kid reacting that he was wrestling, and I was like, "Oh my God, I can't even believe this."
I'm not saying anything else about it. I'm saying it's a bad deal. I feel bad for everyone involved. A terrible accident that I hope social media, it can be great, but
it's going to be so mean to this
kid.
It
can be so terrible because, I'm not going to say everybody's done that, but everybody's had embarrassing
nobody's done that. We've all been somewhere, but we haven't been.
Everybody has had embarrassing things happen to them that they're glad aren't shared with millions of people around the world. And I'm going to leave it at that, I am not going to say anything else about it because...
I mean, Coach, fortunately, we only have about 12 listeners, so you can share
your... I'm not saying anything. I'm done, all right? I'm done.
I'm sure you will remember where you were standing in the gym when you heard about it.
Oh, I remember. I was walking to the mat, and I was like, God, what is that? I was like, oh, shit. It was like you couldn't make it up. I was like, God, what? It was no good. It was unfortunate. Can we go to the next topic, please?
All right. So we've got a few questions, a lot of just like comments. Some people, how does sixth place Dalton Harkins not get an at-large bid of the tournament, but the eighth place you Penn guy does?
Okay, so you have to meet certain criteria to be eligible to be in the at-large pool. If you're not in the at-large pool, nothing else matters. You can find all of those criteria online, but I could probably name them. You have to have at least one win over a competitor that's already in the NCAA tournament. You have to be one spot out of allocations for your conference. Those are the
so that
two
is a criteria. That is a you have to be.
Those are the two criteria that Dalton met. You have to meet
okay
at least two of the criteria.
Okay.
So Dalton met those two. So Dalton's in the at-large pool. Now, what your winning percentage, your coach's rank, and your RPI are also factored. So if you have those, you're in the at-large pool. Once you're in the at-large pool, you are only compared to that cohort. So let's just say there's 10 people in the at-large pool. You're only compared to those other 9 people. And the comparisons are head-to-head matchups, common opponents, RPI, winning percentage, coaches rank. And it's pretty strictly math-driven. So when you compare, like compare Dalton to Barzac, we lost head-to-head. We lost the common opponents. We were lower in the coaches panel. We had a worse winning percentage. We were lower in RPI. The only thing we had going for us was that we placed higher at the conference tournament. So we probably lost that head-to-head matchup against Barzac and the Matrix like 90 points to 10 points, something like that, like not even close. The way the system works is that it's set up to value what you do over the course of the entirety of the season, not just at the conference tournament. So,
which I mean, I guess that's the point though, right?
That's the point. That's no, the it's point. Good. It's a good system. It probably means coaches didn't punish Barzac too much for taking 3 losses at the tournament. I haven't seen the coaches rank came out. So, I mean, there's no complaints. We've had way, you know, when Ogunsanya didn't get an at-large his sophomore year, I thought was egregious, you know, and this wasn't. This was a bummer, but it wasn't egregious by any means.
Yeah, and this was, I mean, the rest weren't really questions. They were just kind of like, just kind of statements, and it's everything we've talked about so far. So,
yeah,
that was really it from the listeners. So
did far. Did you catch up on any other wrestling or not yet?
I didn't watch any. I mean, I followed. I had to do my rankings last night, so I ranked 125 and 157. So I had to go back through all the results and so I looked at a lot of results, a lot of tournaments. But I didn't watch any. And I've watched our guys, their matches from the IWAs because we're back. We had practice today. You know, we're back and trying to clean some things up and get ready. So my mind's on them. My mind's on fundraising, getting our program in a better place where we can stay competitive. And my mind's on what we can do with our incoming recruits and how we can add more of them and what we can do with getting our team, you know, training to where we need to be this off season.
Like it.
Yeah. This is so are you guys traveling on Tuesday?
We're going to leave on Monday night. Okay. Yep. Yeah, we're going to leave Monday night. Listen, Tulsa is probably going to be great, but that airport is small and they're not ready. Like, we have to fly to Oklahoma City.
We flew into Tulsa when we went to Oklahoma State the 1 year. I remember we flew into Tulsa and then drove.
Yeah. Well, that was
that
one
airport is not
traveling
small.
To Tulsa. That wasn't 7,000 fans plus 330 competitors in the assorted. Yeah. So, I mean, you have everybody except like Missouri, OU, OSU, let's just say there's 300 competitors flying in. Nebraska's probably driving, you know, but let's say you have 250 competitors flying in. And, you know, you also have, 100 coaches and support staff. And then you have all the fans that are flying in. And then all of those people are trying to leave on Sunday. Everybody that's not getting in a car and leaving Tulsa is trying to fly out on Sunday. So we had to fly in and out of Oklahoma City. Tulsa was no zero flights available on Sunday.
How far is that?
Hour and a half, 2 hours, I think, something like that. Jeff looked it up. I thought it was longer, but it's been a long time since I've lived there. So I trust Jeff Breeze and Google Maps to know more than I do. I haven't lived in Oklahoma.
You book like a 6 a.m. flight Sunday morning. You guys would like leave from the hotel at 1 a.m.
Please God, please don't. No, Breeze wouldn't do that to us. I'm looking it up right now that you're saying that. So from Tulsa to the Oklahoma City airport, it's about 2 hours. Not bad.
That's not bad.
No, and it's an easier drive. It's an easier drive to get from Oklahoma City to Tulsa than it is to get from West Point to LaGuardia. So, you know.
Yeah. You're not kidding.
Yeah. No, so it's all good. We're going to get there. We're going to train probably pretty hard on Tuesday while we're there. You know, not much on Wednesday, and then be ready to wrestle on Thursday.
You're going to make a little recruiting trip. They have to go to Tuttle.
I'm not, I can't say where I'm going, but you know me, I don't like to just sit around. So, I am going to be working while I'm there for sure.
Hey, Tuttle's got it going from what I started with Coleman Gracie. Now they really got the snowball rolling there.
Yeah. Actually, I need to check the recruiting dead period. There is a recruiting dead period. I just didn't know when it is.
So with spring break this week, do they have to go to school on Monday and then leave Monday night?
Well, they got to leave school at, like, lunch on Monday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice little
They got to have their
little half day.
Yep. Little half day on Monday. Because Tuesday was supposed to be a study day, but it got flipped. So, but we'd already planned to leave on Monday. So, yeah, we're leaving on Monday. So, they'll miss class for almost a full week. So, that's – they got to stay on top of things academically.
Yeah. Also, I think
that's be about
what
I was just thinking. Midterm got to be coming up sometime soon. No,
we just had 6 weeks
always,
like last week, so yeah.
I was gonna say, I always remember it being like conference tournament time. That was like, of course, ideal.
Yeah, but you're a good student, that's why you care about those things.
That's right.
Well,
we'll claim that, anyways.
Also, I think that wraps things up. The brackets come out, is it tomorrow or Thursday?
Yeah, they come out tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern.
They got the bracket selection show.
It's kind of lame, huh?
Yeah. Yeah,
you can fast forward it. You used to be able to like to just skim it and then go back to the – I don't know if you still can do
I just
want to
see the brackets. That's all we care about. Just show me the brackets.
Don't they do like – they
release it takes so damn long.
Twos at every weight and like in the first 10 minutes and then like –
everybody already knows what those are going to be if you pay attention for the most part. Which ones are you concerned about?
I wouldn't say concerned, but like 57, you know, is Austin O'Connor going to get the one?
O'Connor, Haynes, done.
Is it?
No,
is it
Haynes can't get the two, can he?
He can. I mean, some people think he's going to get the two, but some people think Rob can still get it. Franek.
I don't know how you give it to Rob. Franek lost
to
Rob.
You got to look at their whole season.
Let me tell you, Humphreys might slide in to four.
Yeah, he's undefeated, but he doesn't have any
or matches. Three. Because I think he beat Rob, didn't he?
No. Rob was undefeated. Rob was undefeated.
Well, beat Rob last year at the end of the year and hasn't lost. Granted, he hasn't had that many matches because he's out, but.
Yeah, but I think he hit 15 matches at EIWAs. Because he was like 12-0 going under it, so that he may. So that's where I think it makes, you know, if he slides in at like the two or three, and Rob's up there maybe on the four, who knows?
Well, you guys can discuss.
You know
that.
Who I wouldn't want to wrestle?
Say again,
Nate Lucas. That's
let's go. yeah, so I don't know what's gonna happen with some of those seeds. I like wrestling as much as you guys do, so I'm sure I'll be looking at it, but focused on our guys for sure. So, fellas, thanks for the energy and the conversation tonight. To our dozens of faithful and loyal listeners out there, thanks for tuning in. Appreciate your support all season long. The most fun time of the season is coming up. We're looking forward to traveling to the Midwest on Tulsa time and scrapping for some hardware there at the NCAA tournament. So. Appreciate everyone following us this year. I'm sure we have one more update coming up after the tournament. And I look forward to seeing you guys and chatting then.
Awesome. Appreciate it.
Sounds good.
Peace. Be Hall.
Be Hall. Thanks for tuning in to the Be Hall Radio Show. If you like what you heard, be sure to subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating on your favorite podcast platform. If there's something you'd like to hear on a future show, reach out to us on any of our social media, Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. Or you can reach us at email, behaw.radio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts, and as always, go Army, be Navy.